Turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Third chapter of the book of Philippians. And let us look at that 17th verse. Verse 17. I will read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 of chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17 of Philippians chapter 3, brethren, be followers together of me. Now we're living in a time when this expression is used a good bit. Leaders, rulers have cried that we need role models. Young people need a role model. We ought to walk circumspectly, so forth. People need someone they can look up to and all that. Well, it seems to me like the Apostle Paul is a role model. The man, Paul. Paul the Christian. Paul the believer. We're to be followers of him as he is a follower of the Lord Jesus. Be ye, he said, be ye altogether followers of me. Be ye followers together of me. And he said, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Now, I'd say that teaches that we're to look to Paul as a leader in Christianity as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, well, let me read the rest of that. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. We once were enemies of the cross of Christ. But God revealed His Son to our souls, and we fell at His feet and took up His banner and took up His cause, and we have been brought to go in a different direction. We've been changed, translated is the word, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And now we have for our objective the honor and the glory of our captain, the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus. He's the object that we live for, object that we pursue is His glory and so forth. They are the enemies. They're enemies of the cross. They hate. Remember I told you this morning, those outside of the Lord Jesus, by nature, all of us was at one time a hater of God. Although at the time we didn't know that we was haters of God, but that didn't change it any. We were still haters of God. And I said that everybody from babyhood, childhood, youth, and manhood that's outside of the Lord Jesus Christ hate God. They're enemies of God. Remember I told you that's the most terrible word that you can find in the Scriptures to describe men and women, boys and girls, outside of the ark of safety, is that they are actually enemies of God. And the sad part of it is that they don't even know that. They don't know it. God knows it, but they don't know it. If they ever find out that they really are, that's how God regards them, as His enemy. If they ever find that out, they find that they have a need, and God reveals the need met in the Lord Jesus, then they'll flee to Him, won't they? Find comfort in Him. Well, anyhow, he says, I told you this often. I've told it to you over and over and over again that these false preachers out there, false religions, false theories, false philosophies, they're false. False, he said. I've told you often about that and now tell you even weeping. You can be deceived. You can be... A man can... He can say, well, I believe in the doctrines of grace. He may believe in the doctrines of grace, but that's not salvation. That's not salvation. There's a whole lot of people believes in what's called Calvinism. Are you a Calvinist? I'm a Calvinist through and through. I believe in the 5 points. But do you know the Lord Jesus? Anybody can be a Calvinist. Don't trust in election. Election don't save you. It's unto salvation. Election. Oh, glorious, glorious Bible doctrine. But it don't save you. It don't save you. Even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Why, he said, whose God is their belly. Whose glory is their shame. Who mind earthly things. Mind earthly things. Paul talked like he didn't mind earthly things. That is, he wasn't caught up with earthly things. He was caught up with something far better than earthly things. He was caught up with heavenly things. Set your affections on things above where Christ is. See? Paul, that's what... Now, Paul says, I want you to be a follower of me as I follow him. Follow me. I'm your role model. I'm your father. He told the fellas I was reading about there in 1 Corinthians, he says you might have 10,000 fathers, but he said you just got one father as far as I'm concerned. He said, I've begotten you with the gospel. Be a follower of me. Who mind earthly things? Our conversation is in heaven. That's citizenship. That's where our citizenship is. He's saying that we're not of the world. That's where we don't mind earthly things. We're not of the world. We're not worldly. I know what the Pentecostals and the average religion today, they're talking about holiness. They think holiness is not going to picture show. They think holiness is don't cut your hair. They think holiness is don't put any lipstick on. That's what they think. That's holiness. That's this thing that they say, without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Unless you are make yourself appear to be different than everybody else by some symbol or sign, you're not following after holiness. But that's not what it's all about. It's not that which comes in a man that defiles him. Goes out. It's this heart business. It has to do with a man's heart, the seat of his affections, where it really is, his soul. What thinketh you in your heart? It's one thing to talk about love and all that business, but if you went home with me, followed me all day long, you might draw some different conclusion. I hope you wouldn't, but you could. He said, our citizenship's in heaven. We're not of this world. Not of this world. We're heavenly people. From hence also we look for the Savior. We look for the Lord Jesus to come and rescue us, to deliver us from where? From this present evil world. This world's evil. Isn't it evil? We're talking about there four churches. What a low ebb of morality there is in the United States of America. No morality. No morality. The citizenship, and I'm not being a politician here now, but the majority of the citizens of this country don't seem to care if their leaders, if they set the right example, If they're liars or thieves or cheats or adulterers, they don't seem to care. It don't make any difference. It ought to make a difference, oughtn't it? We ought to look down upon that and frown upon that, I think. Whence we also look for the Savior. We look for Him to come and rescue us and deliver us. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's the Savior. That's His business. That's what He does. He saves people. He saves sinners from their sins, from the power of their sins. He saves them from the penalty of sin. And He is saving them from the presence of it, the Savior. Well, I read that. Now, here's what I want to say. The apostle, he is speaking there in the book of 1 Corinthians. He's speaking here in the book of Philippians. It's not as an apostle that he speaks to us. Get that, and then you get the rest of it. It's not as an apostle that he speaks to us. He was an apostle. Highest office in the visible creation here below in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Highest office. An apostle sent by God. But it's not as an apostle that he speaks to us in the verses that I've read to you and in this third chapter of the book of Philippians. He doesn't speak to us as one endowed with extraordinary gifts and privileged to see unspeakable visions in the paradise of God. No, it's not Paul, the gifted vessel, that speaks to us. Now, it's Paul the Christian. It's here, it's Paul the believer, Paul the Christian. He speaks to us as a role model, as a Christian, as a believer. Now, he says, be followers of me. Now, I know that we couldn't follow him in his wonderful and most brilliant career as an apostle. We couldn't follow him along those lines, could we? Now, we couldn't follow him in his rapture to paradise in the third heavens when he seen things and heard things that he could not utter when he come back down. We couldn't follow him there. But we can follow Paul the Christian. Paul the Christian. Where do we start? Well, the starting place for a believer is his standing before God. Something's got to take place to change, to alter his standing by nature. By nature, he's alienated from the life and light of God. By nature, he's far off from God. By nature, he is without hope and without God in this world. That's what he is by nature. He goes astray at birth, speaking lies, shaping an iniquity. That's got to change. He's got to have a proper standing before God. He's got to have his sins done away with. He's got to have his sins pardoned. Pardoned. He's got to receive pardon from God in reference to his sins of omission and commission. Sins of ignorance and sins that he openly premeditated to commit. He's got to have a pardon signed and sealed by God Himself. His standing, his starting place. What was Paul's starting place. Where do we start? Well, let's look at the apostle here. He said, be followers of me. Now, the apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus before God changed his name. Now, Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Pharisee. Paul was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. Religiously, Paul was a Pharisee. He didn't deny it. Well, whatever was to be had in the shape of religiousness, Saul of Tarsus would have it. Whatever was to be had in the form of religiousness, this Paul that we're talking about, he would have it. Now, he would leave no stone unturned in order to build upon the superstructure of his own righteousness. Of his own righteousness. Now, it was a righteousness that the Bible speaks of the old creation. He says here, let me read it, in verse 7, he said, but what things were gained to me? And he talks prior to this about the things that were gained to him. He said, now, I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, if any man thinks he's got a righteousness in the flesh that he might trust in, he said, I got more than he has. That's what he means. I got more of a righteousness than he has to trust in. If there's anybody, let him put himself up there and display his righteousness. He said, I have more than he has. But listen down here. He said, but what was gained to me? What was gained to me? He said, I counted loss, for Christ's sake. All right. He says, those things which were gained to me, those things I count for loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, alone, not having my own righteousness, which he talked about here in verse 4, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. And does not the Bible say that by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified in God's sight? He said, and be found in Him. Now, before I forget it, that's our starting place right there. There's where we start, is to be found in Him, in Jesus Christ. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's what Paul has to say there. Listen now. The leading thought, the main thought, the most important thought, I think, in this whole chapter is this, that the thought here is not a guilty sinner coming to the fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's vein and being cleansed and made ever whit whole. That's not the leading thought here. A guilty sinner coming. But rather it's this. Listen to me now. Rather than a guilty sinner coming now and being cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is certainly important, and I'm not minimizing that in any sense of the word, but that's not what's being taught here. What's being taught here is a legalist. A legalist is one who's trusting in what he can do or what he don't do. A legalist is trusting in the works of the flesh. That's a legalist. The works of the law. And by the works of the law, no man can be justified before God. But it's a legalist casting aside. That is, hurling aside as nothing his own righteousness, because he has found a better and more glorious righteousness. That's what it is here. That's the thought here. Not a guilty sinner coming to be cleansed, but a legalist, who says, I circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. Anybody thinks he's got a righteousness in the flesh? He said, let him stand up here and measure himself by me. He said, I got more than he has. It's not the guilty sinner coming, although Paul did come. He said he's the chief of sinners. But right in this particular case, it's a legalist casting aside as nothing his own righteousness, because he has found a better righteousness. And there's no need for me to go on and talk to you about Paul the sinner, the chief of sinners, that he found pardon, peace in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know that. You know that. He found peace and pardon in the Christ of God, whom God revealed to his heart on the way to Damascus, and unseated him and taught him and called him and sent him into the Gentile world with the gospel. We know that and believe it. But this is not the leading thought here. I want to impress that upon your souls, upon your minds, upon your hearts. The leading thought here is a legalist, self-righteous legalist, casting away from himself his own righteousness and counting it as a worthless thing, counting it as nothing in comparison to the righteousness of God in a glorified Christ. That's what he's talking about. He said, even if I had a righteousness, he said, I'd gladly cast it aside, throw it down, because I found a righteousness which is far better than my own righteousness. That's what he's saying. It's not the sinner, see, getting his sins pardoned, getting his guilt cleared and his shame covered, but a legalist laying aside his righteousness. A man renouncing his own vain glory simply because he found true glory in the everlasting righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going on here. Listen, it's that Paul the Pharisee preferred. Paul the Pharisee, Paul the legalist, Paul the worksmonger preferred the righteousness which was revealed to him and in him in Christ Jesus, because it was infinitely better and more glorious than his righteousness, which was the righteousness of the law. Let me try to give you a biblical illustration of what I'm saying. I go back to the first man, to Adam in the garden. Dear Adam, poor Adam, God blessed Adam with everything that he could possibly need in order to be happy and at peace. Everything that he craved and desired, God gave him. Well, you know the story. Adam in the garden wound up naked. Isn't that right? He wound up naked. And he knew he was naked. And he heard the voice of God in the garden. God called to him, said, "Where art thou, Adam?" Out here behind these trees. He said, "I'm naked." "How do you know you're naked?" "He's naked." All right, God made him an apron. You remember that? He made himself an apron, but his apron wouldn't satisfy his pierced conscience. He put his apron on, but he still said he was naked. Now, Adam was in the garden, and he was naked, and he made himself. He made himself an apron. Now, God didn't make him this apron out of fig leaves. He made it himself. It was his hands that made this apron. Now, he made this apron, and he put this apron on. But it would have been a loss to him to keep the apron after the Lord God had made him a coat. See? What use would the apron be that he made with his own hands when God made him a coat? No need for him to keep the apron that he made himself. It would be a loss to him. So, it's better to have a God-made coat than a man-made apron. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, "My righteousness, which is of the law, is man-made. I cast it aside. I compare it to the righteousness of God, which is by faith, as nothing." And he said, "Those things that were gained to me, I count as loss for Christ's sake." So it's better to stand in the righteousness of God than to stand in the righteousness of the man, which is the works of the law. Well, it's not only mercy to get rid of our sins. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, which God has sent and God has provided. Mercy of God. But it's also mercy to get rid of our righteousness and receive instead the righteousness which God has revealed in His Son. We sing that hymn. My hope is built on nothing less. Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's our standing and that's our starting place. The righteousness. Paul's place is the standing of a Christian, a standing of a believer. To be found in Him, found in Christ. Found in Him alone. Not found in Him and partly in the works of the law. See, you can't be saved by saying, "I trust in Christ, but I also am trusting in my baptism." Oh, no. It's being found in Him alone. Not partly in Him and partly in something else. It's not found in Him and something less than Him. No. Or found in Him and something lower than Him. No. Nothing different. Not partly in Him and partly in the law, and partly in the ordinances, in the symbols and the ceremonies? No, I insist. It's to be found in Him. See, that's what Paul said. I suffered the loss of all things. Yeah, everything. And I'm not unhappy about losing. I'm glad that I lost them. If I had the achievements, the laurels of a great scholar, I'd gladly cast them down. Oh, I count them all but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. Oh, bless God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I think you do. I hope you do. I hope that you have. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Found in Him. It's all in Him. That's the reason we praise Him. And that's the reason we honor Him. That's the reason we shudder. And we'll shudder tomorrow. Somewhere along the way, somebody will inadvertently speak unwisely concerning the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll just cringe because we say, well, we're found in Him. He alone is our righteousness and our standing before God. And here He is, being despised and criticized and being made fun of. We're found in Him. He alone's our righteousness. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.